It's nice to be back with you here in Leven or Meppel. I'm not really sure where I am here, but it's nice to be back with you. And I was beginning to wonder if my education was going to be lacking again tonight. We did sing one hymn that I didn't know, and I've been educated again tonight. But we want to turn to the Word of God, and we want to turn to Acts chapter number 13, please. Acts chapter number 13. This is a long chapter, there's a lot in the chapter, but I only want to read a few verses, and I'll explain about where I break into the chapter. We want to read at the very end, near the end rather, verse number 38. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 38. And it says this. This is not my words, this is the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Be it known unto you, brethren, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." God will bless us, the reading of his word. Now, there's one or two words in that passage which might not be in common usage, but we will endeavour to explain them as we go on. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was perhaps the greatest preacher of the gospel that this world has ever known. And yet here he comes, and he preaches this message to Jews. And that is why in our passage he calls them men and brethren. But the first question we have to ask about in our passage is, who is this man? Who is this man? And before we go any further, I want to make clear tonight that I am not this man. There are many messages in our world tonight, and they're all spoken by men. Men can take many places, men can take many positions, men can take many things upon them. But I want to tell you tonight that I am not the man in the passage. The person in the passage is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to, just for a minute or two, and I didn't read it because it's quite a lengthy reading, but I just want to go back through the passage and point out to you one or two things about the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul talked about in the passage. Now excuse my alliteration, but I want to think about, first of all, the pedigree that the Lord Jesus Christ had. That means he had a lineage, he had an ancestry, he had a genealogy. And his pedigree, as we call it, was, first of all, if you were to go back in the chapter, that he was an Israelite. He was of the nation of Israel. He was a Jew. And secondly, not only was he a Jew, but he was of the family of David. It says so in the passage, and you can read it for yourself when we go home. And David, he was of the tribe of David, and he was an Israelite. But not only did he have a pedigree, but he was promised. And that is very much in the passage that is there, that the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he come, but before he came, it was promised, it was prophesied that he was going to come. But thirdly, in the passage, we have the fact that he was present in the world. And then here in the previous part of the chapter, it talks about his birth. It talks about his life, it talks about his death, and burial, and resurrection. And these things all remind us about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that, in a nutshell, is this man who we're going to speak about tonight. And so the first thing the first question we have asked tonight is, who is this man? But the Apostle Paul says that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, I was never very good at English at school, and it seems to have transferred it into my family. None of them are very good at English. But I did appreciate, as I was reading this, that the word through means that there's someone in between. There is a mediator. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is a mediator. He's one who is in between two parties. You say to me tonight, okay, I understand that. He is a mediator. He's come between two parties. Why and who are the parties? Well, the two parties, let's first of all explain that, are ourselves and God. We are sinful, and we'll think about that in a minute too, and God is holy. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can mediate between these two parties. It says in another verse in the Bible, there is one God. And I'm sure perhaps the most in the company would agree with that tonight. But there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so at the very beginning of this little message tonight, we've understood something. We've understood a little about who Jesus Christ is, and we've come to understand a little about what he has done. Through this man, it's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, I've been coming to meetings like this all my life, and we use the word preach, and we use it, but what does it mean? Now, I look at the company tonight, and perhaps the most of you understand what preaching is, and you would use it yourselves, but what does it really mean? Well, I've got a Newbery Bible in front of me. And in the margin there, it says, declared or announced. So through this man is declared unto you, or through this man is announced unto you, the forgiveness of sins. It's not that a wonderful message. It's a message which is given to men and women. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come. He's been promised. He's lived in the world. And now he has a message. And that message is different from anything that this world could ever know. He's going to preach the forgiveness of sins. Now, Mr. Cameron and Mr. Miliband and Mr. Clegg can't preach a message like that. Although we're going to hear a lot about them in the next 100 days or so. But nothing like that will ever cross their paths. But this message is a message, as we sometimes say, which is old, yet ever new. And so we've come to another word, the word sin. Now you see, we all know what sin is, but do it. You know, we all have an understanding about what wrong things are. And we know that sin is murder, and sin is theft, and sin is perhaps, some would say, adultery, and we can go on, all these big things. But I wonder if when we look at the other side of it, if we can see sin as lies, and disobedience, and covetousness, and hatred. And I'm not going to list them all tonight, but they're all sin. You see, sin is everything that God hates. And we have to understand tonight, and I perhaps preach this every time I come here, and I make no apology for it, that sin has come into our world, and death by sin. Sin came into our world way back there at the beginning of our Bible, in the book of Genesis. God gave Adam one commandment, and one commandment only, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. You see, well, that's it. We don't even have 10 commandments, we've only got one commandment. But can you imagine the heart of God when God looked down one day and he saw Adam taking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That one simple commandment, he broke it. And by that one simple disobedience, the scripture says, he brought sin into the world and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men.
and that all have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. I hope you understand that tonight. Not just you, but we all have sinned as well. Or you might think, oh, I'm a bad person. But those people in the gospel hall, they're not sinners. Well, we all were sinners. I hope you understand that. We're not setting ourselves up as any great paragons of virtue. We were all once sinners. And if we could go around the hall tonight and go to other gospel halls like this, you could tell stories upon stories upon stories about men and women who have been sinners and who have been saved by the grace of God. And it's only Christ that can forgive sins. Notice it doesn't say, through this man it's preached unto you a change of life. Now we'd all like to change our lives. Even me tonight. I'd like to change the way I do things. And perhaps even change my behaviour. Oh, I'm not a bad person. You don't misunderstand me. But I've got habits that I would like to give up. And there's things that I'd like to do. And things that I want to do. Other things I want to not do. But this man is preaching unto you the forgiveness of sins. No government can do that. No politician can do that. No scientist can do that. No doctor can do that. It's only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that can forgive your sins. And the next part of the verse says that by him, not through this man, but it's by this man. And why is it by this man? Because he had gone to the cross. We've been singing about that tonight. You know, it's not in our book, and it's not in our book at home, but some of the old folks, they like to sing about the old rugged cross. And it is the old rugged cross. But it's by him. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come. Yes, all the things that we've been talking about in the previous part of the chapter, in the sermon of the Apostle Paul. But it's by him. He has gone to a cross. We don't understand what is involved in the cross. You know, we just see sanitized pictures of the cross. Perhaps you've seen Salvador Dali's picture painting of Christ on the cross, or some other piece of art that depicts the cross. Or perhaps you've been in a home and there's a crucifix on a wall. It doesn't depict the awfulness of the cross. You see, if you're to go to the Gospels, you would read about spitting. You would read about smiting. You would read about mocking. You would read about the nails and the piercing. And we think not only of that, but there's a man upon a cross and he's put upon a cross in front of the noonday sun. And hanging there, the psalmist says, I can tell all my bones, they're all out of joint. But it's more than that. It's by him. Not just him hanging upon a cross. There was two other men hanging upon a cross that day. But our Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless, holy, spotless one of God. And he went to the cross. And he died upon the cross. But when he died upon the cross, the scripture says he bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. You know, we sometimes sing, and it's in this book this time, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. But the apostle says, by him all that believe. And you know, I would perhaps argue tonight that is one of the most important verses, one of the most important words that we can talk about tonight. We've talked about preaching, and we've talked about sin. But what about believing? You know, believing is not an easy thing. Even in this physical sphere of life, believing is not an easy thing. You get into your car every day, and you turn the key, and you expect the engine to start. You believe that the engine will start every time that you start your turn your key. You walk into your house, you turn the key and open the door, and the first thing you do at night is put the light on, and you believe that the lights will come on. It's a lot more than that. I don't know, and I perhaps use this illustration too often here, but I can think of another one, but these climbers, when they go out and climb these cliffs, you know, they put these little bits of metal into the cracks in the rock, and they hang their ropes on it. I don't know if you saw that those men at New Year time, climbing one of the most sheer cliff faces in North America. It took them about 4 weeks. One of the highest, smoothest cliff faces in North America. And all that they had was a few bits of metal and some ropes. And they believed that if anything happened to them, that metal and that rope would save them from death. You know, every single rope that these climbers use is certified. It's got a certificate on it. And they believe that it will keep them from certain death. But tonight, we're talking about much, much more. We're talking about believing that the death of Christ upon the cross nearly 2,000 years ago is enough for me to have my sins forgiven and to have peace with God and to have eternal life. And can I challenge everyone in the meeting tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, have you believed? Now, I have to qualify. It says in another verse, the demons, they believe, and they tremble. It is a man who is preaching that by him all who believe, we're going to have to explain the next one, are justified from all things. Now I want to take the last part of that verse in Moana, because you see there's a contrast there. There's a contrast in that verse. If the first part says, I'm justified by all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, what I want to explain to you tonight is, before I explain the word justified, is that through believing, you can get something which you cannot get by obeying. You see, these men, they believed and they practiced the law of Moses. That's why I had to explain to you at the beginning that the law that Paul was talking to Jews, and he's talking about the Bible, and he's talking about the Messiah, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. And so these men, it's preaching unto them that there's something which they could get by believing, which they could not get by obeying. So what is this word justified? Well, I don't know how theologian you are tonight in the meeting, perhaps you don't know anything at all. In that case, I'll make it very, very simple. To be justified is to be made right with God. And so what Paul says, all that believe are made right with God from all things, which they could not be made right with God by the law of Moses. Now I say to you tonight, that sounds very, very easy. And for me standing on the platform tonight, it sounds very, very easy. But I know from experience that to be sitting in those seats, it's not as easy as it sounds. But here is a man who's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is preaching that by believing, he can be made right with God. Do you want to be made right with God tonight? To have your sins forgiven? To know peace with God? It's all through our Lord Jesus. But I read the last few verses of Paul's message. And much as I want to have focused on these few two verses that we've just talked about tonight, there is a warning in the message. What does the apostle say? Beware then, lest that come upon you which is spoken of by the prophets. Behold, ye despise them and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which in ye shall no wise receive, though a man declare it unto you. You see, the apostle gave a warning. These are men who knew something of the Word of God. In fact, they would know more about the Bible than we would. They would know more about the Bible than the preacher ever. And yet, they did not understand who he was talking about. Even though he spoke to them, the apostle spoke to them concerning this. He says, a work which ye shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I wonder if you can cast your mind back, if you know the verse, to Luke's Gospel in chapter number 16. And in Luke chapter number 16, there is a picture there, a story of two men in death. The rich man is in hell, and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. And they're having a conversation there. Improbable though it might seem, they're having a conversation. And the rich man, he's in hell. And he's fermented in that flame. He says that himself. But he has a desire that Lazarus should be sent to his brethren, because he does not want them to come to this place. And Abraham says to that rich man there that day, he says, even though one rose from the dead, ye still would not believe. Now here is the Apostle Paul. He's preaching to Jews. He's preaching to them concerning a risen Christ. One risen from the dead. Take the language of Luke chapter 16. And they still would not believe. You know, it's an excuse that we hear time and time again, is it not? If no one has ever come back to tell us, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come back. He's come back from death. He has come back and he's been resurrected from the dead. And he has come back into this world. And yet men still do not believe. And if you do not believe tonight the message, well, the warning is this. You will perish in your sin. We have to be faithful to the Word of God tonight. It's not a message that we like to proclaim, that men will perish and die in their sin if they don't believe. But that's what the Word of God teaches. And that's what we believe from the Word of God. And so tonight, as I bring my little message to a close, I want you to understand something of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done at the place called Calvary. The one who has died for our sin, that we might be free from sin, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might be justified, that we might be made right with God. And may I just say this as it comes to me. The verse says, justified from all things. All things. Now, I don't know everyone in the meeting. And I don't know everyone's background. I don't know everyone's circumstances. But I do know that when to get to heaven, you have to have all your sins forgiven. Now, I'm not being disrespectful in any way, but if you were to go perhaps round the corner to another place of worship and speak to a man about your sins, you could never ever forgive your sins. All of them. Firstly, because he doesn't know all of them. And secondly, because you'll never remember all of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, he knows all your sins. And when you come to him for forgiveness, he will forgive all your sins. And having all your sins forgiven, then, and then only, can you be made right with God. Shall we? Our God and our Father, we thank thee tonight for
and appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. We thank you, Father, tonight for our appreciation of what he has done at the place called Calvary. And we thank you tonight for our appreciation of what he has done for us. We realize, our Father, that tonight, as we preach the gospel, we know, our Father, that we pray that thou would bless it to the conviction and the salvation of precious souls. But we know, our Father, this is what many need. They may need to have their sins forgiven. And so tonight, as we bring our meeting to a close, we ask thy continued blessing upon all who are here, that we might know something of thy goodness and thy greatness among us, as we commend ourselves to thee now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we could sing a verse or two in closing of a hymn. 292, just as I am, without one thing, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Verse number 3 says, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just these two verses, verse 1 and verse 3, keeping our seats, after which the meeting is over.